Good afternoon to everyone. Well, there's no bugs or breezes or baseball card shows going on. But we did it though, right? It worked out. I was saying there's two positive things happening later tonight. First of all, Halloween is over, right? I like to call it Pagoween. That's my nickname for it. And it's actually, when I look up to the sky tonight, it should be a clear night. It's the blue moon. It's the blue moon. And as I say, the moon doesn't look blue, but it's the second full moon of the month, which is kind of unusual. That's what we call once in a blue moon. But more interesting is that you'll be able to see three planets tonight. Right to the left of the moon will be Mars, very close. And then if you look to the right of the moon, a little bit further away, but there's two, we'll call two little lights, and that's gonna be Saturn and Jupiter. So you might wanna step out if there are trick-or-treaters tonight. I guess there's some good things from the pandemic to limit that. But I think it'll be pretty cool to see. Kind of reminds us of God's creation. Well, back from the feast, I know there can be a letdown because that's it. The holy days are over for another year. And but, you know, the great thing is that every 7 days we have a holy day. We have a special day that commemorates creation that helps us to draw close to God in a very special way. That's the Holy Sabbath. Every 7 days, without fail, we have a holy day. And certainly the keeping of the seventh day Sabbath is one of the core fundamental doctrines of the church. And really, right away you stand out as you keep the seventh day Sabbath? Like, not Sunday? I mean, you already stand out from most professing Christianity. But we know the Sabbath provides the time essential for development of our relationship with God and with the one at his right hand, Jesus, the Christ. We certainly gain perspective in keeping the Sabbath. You know, we've got sometimes a crazy week and stressful week, but the Sabbath is a time to really step back and think about the bigger picture. You know, what's going on? Where are we headed? Where am I headed? That's why God has it every 7 days. You can think about it. He might have made it once a month, right? Every 30 days, there's a Sabbath. But it's, you know, not much time goes on where, you know, kind of need another break. You know, kind of need to step back. So we have that weekly cycle. It does point us away, and designed to point us away from the physical and towards the spiritual. I mean, it's a very special, special day. It should be a delight for us as we enter God's rest. And he does want us to remember him in a very special way. You know, we worship God every day, but the Sabbath is a very special, distinct time of worship towards God. So in this sermon, in light of the importance of the Sabbath, I'd like to explore the principles of Sabbath observance. The principles of Sabbath observance. It's a day of rest, but what does that mean? What can we do? What can't we do? What's good? What's something we should avoid? So the principles of Sabbath observance. Let's go right back to the beginning, Genesis 2. Let's review the very, very beginning of this seventh day cycle. The origin lies in creation, when God rested from his work on the seventh day. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them," we're talking the universe, all the galaxies and solar systems, "on the seventh day, though God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now, talk about an example. Well, do you want to follow what God does? He set an example. He rested. He rested. It's like, that's it. No more creation today, right? No more creating. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. It's special. It's not like the other 6 days of the week. Because that in it, he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So when there are some that would argue, well, you know, you keep that Old Testament Sabbath, and that was given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai, and that's the Old Covenant, and are we under the New Covenant? So what are you doing, you law-keeping people? And you say, well, actually, you're wrong. The Sabbath is right from the beginning, you know, right from creation. And I mean, it's a whole other topic about why do we keep the Sabbath? But it's one of the most easily proved doctrines that we have. It's a complete no-brainer from cover to cover that's the day of worship. It's the seventh day. It's not the eighth day or the first day, as in Sunday. So it's very special. It's very special right from the start. And certainly, yeah, it continued to be special with ancient Israel, God's chosen people. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, and starting in verse 13, well, God did speak to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. So it's a sign. It's a special emblem. It's a, wow, you keep the seventh-day Sabbath. Yeah. And it brings you in conjunction with God and his commandments. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, it is holy to you. And anyone that defiles it will surely be put to death. Anyone that does any work, well, that individual will be cut off from among his people. Notice verse 15, which says that 6 days work may be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. It's holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work again, he will be put to death. God was really pretty clear how important it was. Wherefore the children of Israel will keep the Sabbath, observe it. It's a perpetual covenant, as is called in verse 16. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and he was refreshed. Now Israel, was Israel there at the creation, the people of Israel? Well, nobody was there, right? There was no human beings at that time. Yet God says, listen, this goes all the way back to creation. When I set, as God says, I set the example. And guess what? You're my people. You're the covenant people. So I want you to abide by that as I started right from the beginning and called it a perpetual covenant, a perpetual covenant. Now, let's take a look then at Exodus 20, where we have the Sabbath instituted as one of the 10 great commandments that he gave. Exodus chapter 20. We get a little bit of information here with respect to keeping the Sabbath and the principles of Sabbath keeping. Exodus 20 and verse 8, we have, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So it's not just to remember it. Oh, wow, yeah, it's the seventh day. Okay, great. But it's, well, we have to keep it holy. We have to keep it holy, not profane it. You should not do any work, as it says. 6 days you will labor, in verse 9, and do your work. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You will not do any work, you nor your son or your daughter, or manservant or maidservant, your cattle, your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is, but he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's very special. So we see some things in here that the Sabbath observance pertains to all members of the household, all members of your household. So if you have children, they have to be part of that Sabbath keeping and keeping it holy as well. They just don't go off on their own and you as the adults, keep it. No, it's your household. And those that, are under your control, you might say, in terms of those in your household, in terms of your maidservant and manservant. Now, even though the Bible does not deal with all of the questions we might have on, well, how exactly do we keep the Sabbath, there are certainly principles. There are a number of principles in the Bible that we're going to examine. Now, the first one is a no-brainer, right? It's about don't do any work. And I think we can understand that if we have a job, we're employed, that's time off. From Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, that 24-hour period of time, you don't work. You don't go to work. You're not engaged in anything. That's kind of one of the no-brainer points, I think, of principles of Sabbath keeping. But what if you don't have a full-time job, so to speak, and you're a homemaker, or you're retired, or a student? Don't engage in your labor. What is your labor if you're a homemaker, right? Doing the laundry, vacuuming, doing the grocery shopping for the week. That's your labor. Well, you want to refrain from that. You want to have a rest from that. If you're a student, you want to refrain from doing, your homework. That's time out. I mean, that's your labor. You can do that 6 days, but it's time to put that aside and keep the seventh day of rest for that 24-hour period of time. Now, some can argue that, well, sure, most of the time in my job I can do that, but hey, I'm a tax accountant. April 15th is coming, and it's the busy, crazy time of the year. So I gotta work. This is it. People are depending upon me, or maybe I'm a contractor, and wow, summer's a busy time where I can get out there and do my landscaping and painting and things like that, and that's where I get the bulk of my income. So I can't afford. I gotta work 7 days a week. I mean, come on, give me a break, right? Well, the Bible addresses that question or that issue. Let's go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and just verse 21. It's a statute. It says, 6 days you shall work. Okay, no problem. But the seventh day you shall rest. We know that already. And it adds, though, in plowing time, and in harvest, you shall rest. Wow, plowing time and reaping, that's the crazy time if you're, that's your, in the agricultural field, that's a very specific period of time. It's critical that you get that done during that specific period of time. But we have the instructions from God that's not a valid excuse. Not a valid excuse to say that it's a time to know I'm going to keep that seventh day rest. Yeah, those 6 days I'm going to work really hard and I might work really long, a lot of hours, but it cannot be an excuse. Very, very important principle. And then we also see more as we turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And let's start in verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and on the other hand, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then, you know, there's a blessing that is given. So there's a lot of principles here. A lot of principles here, just right in verse 13. The goal is that the Sabbath becomes a delight. We'll say a spiritual delight, right? And you are honoring God in the things that you do. And even talks about your own words. You know, what kind of conversation do you have on the Sabbath day? It's a time to think about that. Certainly, it's not a time to like, wow, it's a day that I got a free day. I'm going to do whatever I want. And that's it, you know. And you spend the entire time just engaged in self-pursuit and self-interest. And God's like, you got to think about that. It's not about you on that day and what you want to do and engage in, but it's about how can I honor God this day? How can I do things that would reflect the holiness of the day? Besides, you know, refraining from work. So very interesting. The things that are right here in the book of Isaiah. Now, we'll talk about some of those things later, but we can interject that, you know, sometimes the thought is, wow, you know, I really shouldn't really do really anything on the Sabbath, you know, like total inactivity, because I don't want to be accused of working or doing something that is outside labor. Well, then you get into the story of the Pharisees, which really took that idea and carried it way too far in terms of, the inactivity aspect of the Sabbath. To this day, we have the Orthodox Jews that are proudly, and they're from their standpoint, they're proudly descended from the Pharisees. I found that out by kind of saying, wow, you sound like, boy, this is like Pharisaical thinking. I said this to an Orthodox Jew online. And they're like, you know what they said? Thank you. And I'm like, oh, why are they thanking me? It's like, oh yeah, like they admire the Pharisees. I was giving them a compliment. Didn't realize I was doing that. Some really, you know, take it too far. How many have heard of the Sabbath elevators in Israel? Anybody ever hear of that? Okay, this is true. I'm not making this stuff up. But in some of the hotels in Israel, they have Sabbath elevators, and they're marked as such. And they're Sabbath elevators because on the Sabbath, they program that every button is pushed in that elevator. You know, if there's 10 floors, all 10 buttons are pushed when you walk in. It will stop at every floor. And you say, well, that's kind of, what if I'm on the 9th floor, right? Well, hold on, you know, this is important because you don't want to be pushing a button on the Sabbath. You want to push that number 9 because they actually think that that's work to push a button on an elevator. So all the buttons are pushed in advance. You don't have to worry about that. And you'll get to the 9th floor after eight stops, right? Not making this stuff up. Not making this stuff up. So that can get out of whack, as you could see. But you know, there are positive things on the Sabbath in terms of, you know, what are positive things to participate in, and we could think about, you know, caring for the needs of others, right, alleviating the suffering of others as we have an opportunity. What do you do on the Sabbath? Do you feed? Do you get out the dog food and, you know, take the dog for a walk? And isn't that work? Well, I mean, you're just taking care of your pet. That's taking care of the needs of your pet or your cat or, you know, whatever, chickens, whatever you have. You know, there are things to do that, you know, are meant to help one another in this term, you know, pets, but, you know, you could be a caretaker of an individual. So those are good things that we can do, even though technically we might be, you know, working, so to speak. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. You know, Jesus had to really address all of the wrong ideas and concepts that the Pharisees had brought in at that time in Israel, all their little rules that they created became like, that's the real point of the Sabbath, is to obey all these rules that we've come up with. Let's go to Matthew 12 and verse 10. There was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, Jesus, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said to him, he answered the question, verse 11, he says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Exert that energy to get it out. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. That's a Sabbath principle, to do well, to do positive things, to help someone out. And that's that can extend to a lot of different areas, and but that is without a doubt, a positive principle of keeping the Sabbath. It's not just about, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's about, hey, let's do good things and help some other people out as we can within the context of the Sabbath day. One of the other positive things of the Sabbath is that this is a really great time to bind families closer together, or even, in a marriage, to have that time available that is there. We 6 days can be very busy. If people are working and running to and fro, it's amazing. You can just not spend much time with your children, with your spouse. But when the Sabbath comes along, there you go. You've got that time. You're not engaged in work. You're not engaged in all this hustle and bustle that you do other 6 days of the week. But what a great time to spend time with your children. What a great time to have extended talk with your spouse or other friends or family members that you might have. It's a wonderful time to do it. That's a very positive aspect of the Sabbath. Let's note Genesis chapter 18. We have someone who was really singled out as someone who was a great family man. Genesis 18. And verse 18. Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he'll command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God certainly looked at Abraham and said, here's a great example that he cares about his family. He's going to teach his children about the ways of God. He's going to instruct them. He's just not going to leave it to other people or neglect it, or I'm too busy to do that. That's one of the reasons God selected him to be the father of the faithful. Big thing was how he dealt with his family and how careful he was with them. And that is an enormous responsibility for parents. Absolutely enormous responsibility. And it's important, I think sometimes, certainly when in days past, when the church was bigger and there were children's lessons after church and things like that, that you can get the feeling, they'll teach my kids about the Sabbath and the holy days and whatever. But don't think that that's going to happen. Don't think if your child is in services, he's picking up everything about the church and why you're doing things. It just doesn't work that way. As a parent, you have to sit down and why are we keep the Sabbath? Why aren't we keeping Christmas? You have to educate them and give them an understanding and spend time with them. You just can't think that they're going to absorb things from sitting at church or whatever. You really have to take an active role in doing so. Let's notice Deuteronomy chapter 6. And again, when we have a lot of activity during the week, you know, those things might be tough to get in, but voila, every 7 days, you do have that time. You do have that time to sit down with your children and read them a Bible story, tell them a story, give them a principle, explain things, and educate them. That's a fantastic time that you have. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words which I command you this day will be in your heart, and you shall leave it in your heart and never talk about it to anybody. No. It says, and then you shall teach your children diligently. You will talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is he saying? You know, 24/7, right? You know, it has to be a pattern, a way of life. And it can't just be, oh, on the Sabbath, well, let's get holy and let's get serious and we'll talk about God. And the other 6 days, like, you have nothing to do with that. But it does have to be 24/7. 24/7. But there's a great opportunity on that seventh day to spend some very special time. And, you know, that's absolutely something that we have to pass on. We cannot neglect that. It's a big responsibility, big responsibility for parents. Let's turn to Exodus 16, and we'll see another principle of Sabbath observance, Sabbath keeping. Exodus 16. We have the manna, the giving of the manna. And God said in Exodus 16, verse 29, he realized the Sabbath is there. It's a day of rest, not out to, you know, spend hours gathering your food. So he said in Exodus 16, 29, he's giving you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he's going to give you enough bread that will last 2 days. And abide everyone in his place. Don't let anyone go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So God realized, hey, you know, you got to eat, right? That's attending to your needs. But he made this provision. And, you know, what we can call this, in principle, is a preparation day, right? That sixth day is, you know, God gave him, set them up for the seventh day, right? And it becomes a preparation day. And we can turn to, you know, New Testament scriptures where, you know, talks about the preparation day. And that's a principle that we should really avoid. You know, you're just going crazy during the week, right? And all of a sudden you look at, wow, you know, the Sabbath is like in 30 seconds. You know, technically it's sunset. And you're all discombobulated. And you're all over the place, and you're frazzled, and there's maybe some things that you just have to get done, and you know it's not a good feeling, right? Well, that's why you have a preparation day. That's why that day before, that at the time before, is to think things out, and let's get things in order, let's get things settled. So, as I call it, you kind of ease into the Sabbath. That's the greatest feeling. You know, I haven't always had that. You know, especially working and commuting. Well, I don't do commuting anymore, but it's just a great feeling that you're all relaxed and the Sabbath is here, and maybe you see the sun go down, and you're all peaceful and restful. Isn't that a good way of starting things off instead of like pulling your hair out? That you know, here it is, and so use the preparation time. You know, plan it, think about it. So it's there and it comes in and you're ready to take full advantage of it. Now, here's some questions that we can all ask ourselves. Here's some questions before we do whatever on the Sabbath, right? Here's some questions to ask honestly to ourselves. Does the activity I want to do cause me to honor God and the sacred nature of the Sabbath? Does the activity I want to do cause me to honor God and the sacred nature of the Sabbath? Here's another question. Will the activity, whatever that is, cause me to grow closer to God, to realize the greatness of God and his wonderful creation? You know, because we know it was established at creation, so there's definitely, you know, that context of realizing God as the creator and certainly the wonderful world that he's made. So will the activity help me to appreciate that? Another question, will whatever experience help me to better understand the purpose of the Sabbath and the time it foreshadows? Because it does foreshadow the kingdom of God, you know, that millennial rest and ultimately, you know, that eternal rest. You know, Sabbath is a little microcosm of God's eternal rest. Here's another question. Will the activity help me draw closer to my family, my spouse, brothers and sisters in Christ? And also, as opportunity is there to help others that might be in need and encouragement. So, you know, those are just questions, and we have to think them through honestly and in a positive way. Certainly, you know, encouraging others, I mean, how can that not be, you know, a good thing to do on the Sabbath? And again, the time is there that we could send an email, we could do a tweet, we can a phone call, or perhaps a visit, just to give encouragement. Again, as opportunity arises, that we can do something like that. Now, here's something that is a positive aspect of the Sabbath. Let's go to Psalm 92. Psalm chapter 92. In my Bible, the title is, it's a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. Wow, a song for the Sabbath day? I think that tells us, wow, music can be a part of the Sabbath. Now, it's great we had, you know, our hymns that is part of our worship service, and sometimes we do have special music that's wonderful. But, you know, it can extend to us when we're at home, when we can play music that is, you know, just enlivens us and gives us a boost and elevates us. You know, the things that move us in a positive frame of mind. That's good. That's great. I always do that every Sabbath. I really love music very deeply. And I can't wait. I look forward typically Saturday morning to play my music, you know, music that to me is uplifting and it says a lot to me personally. Like that, I can't wait for that. I love that. It's positive. It's good. And we can think about that. Psalm 92, let's just read the first five verses here. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And, you know, if you're talented, I'm not, but if you're talented in terms of singing at home, great, you know, or with others that you can get together and, you know, sing praises to God, you know, positive things, elevating things, that's wonderful. Verse 2, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings. Okay, here's a musical instrument, right? The psaltery, the harp with a solemn sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Oh, Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. And that can be expressed, you know, when we hear music that has, you know, some real, for us, you know, has some depth to it. It can really be a help for us to praise God, to think how great God is. I know it was really wonderful during the feast. They had the virtual choir during one of the webcasts, and it was the Hallelujah Chorus, and like that's my kind of music, I love that kind of stuff. But they did such a wonderful job with it. You know, here this virtual choir, you get goosebumps. I mean, that's the thing that's great. That's like, wow, isn't this great to enhance the Sabbath with music and words that praise God? That's fantastic. That's such a positive aspect of the Sabbath. And it's absolutely a special gift from God. Now, you say, well, what else? What other things can I engage in on the Sabbath? You know, some choose to watch documentaries on nature, right? Things that are an aspect of creation. There's some wonderful series out there, Planet Earth and things like that. Although I got to watch for, you know, when the tiger comes out and is hungry, and you might want to fast forward through some of those segments. It's a fact of life. But some really wonderful, positive things out there. There's even films made that promote creation. You know, that not part of the Church of God, but those that do believe that God created things. You know, Privileged Planet, you might have heard of that. There's a number of things out there. That's something great to play and watch on the Sabbath and fill your mind with how great this universe is. It helps us to see how great God is, the power of God. I think the universe teaches us about eternity because it's so unbelievably big that is an understatement. I actually saw something. There's some really great things on YouTube about how big is the universe, and it's mind blowing. But there was one. There was one film that showed how big the observable universe is. And it's just, you can't understand it, how big it is. But that wasn't the last thing they said. If this theory holds true about the Big Bang, that there was this period of inflation, blah, 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 that the actual universe, we can only observe so much with light travels, right? We can only observe so much. That the actual universe that we'll never see is 15 septillion times bigger than the observable universe. Like, just, again, it's a number, but it's really something. But I think it helps us to see how great God is. And I think it helps us understand eternity. You know, it just goes on seemingly forever. But those are good things. Those are positive things that helps bring us closer to God. Some, you know, might watch some news, right, or read news, what's going on in the world. You know, we all have to be careful what kind of news we watch. You know, it makes no sense to watch biased news or tabloid news, what's happening in Hollywood. You know what value does that have? But, you know, get a serious news program that helps us understand what's going on. And actually, sad to say, a lot of times you see what's going on in the world, and then you start praying, "Thy kingdom come." You know, when you see the suffering that so many are going through, in a sense, that's a positive thing. That we are aware of what's going on, so we can pray all the more for the kingdom to come. Then, of course, there's the real no-brainers. Wow, here's time I can read the Bible. Woo! You know is that good on the Sabbath to read the Bible? You know, and get some extra prayer in. That's church literature. Wow, there's so much on the internet. There's all kinds of sermons and Bible studies out there. There's so much. And I think I like that United Church of God. They really put a lot out there. There's a whole bunch of stuff. We watched a sermon from Cleveland, Ohio. They have like their own little channel. So we watched a sermon yesterday. Andy Lee, I like his messages. So those are positive things. You know, positive things. Now. Sometimes people want a list of things very specifically, or questions. What about this? What about that? But you can wind up you know, bogged down into, you can go down a long, a wrong road when that happens. Now, you know, the Pharisees did go down that road, as I mentioned about, you know, the lineage of the Sabbath elevators. But we find that the Jewish Talmud specified 39 main categories of work that is prohibited on a Sabbath. It was more about don't do this, you can't do that. You know, that was kind of the mindset. Let me give you some examples here. Practicing medicine was not allowed. It was not allowed unless life was endangered. Now, here's the example. This goes back a little bit, but if you have a toothache, there's an actual example. You could rinse out your mouth with vinegar, right? Maybe dull the pain with that. But you better swallow it. You better swallow it because that's eating, and eating is okay. But if you spit it out, you're kind of practicing medicine. So, you know, think about that next time you have a toothache and vinegar. Not making this stuff up. Not making it up. You know, according to an Associated Press story some years ago, here's how an ultra-Orthodox Jew observes the Sabbath. This is, again, not making this stuff up. This is before the Sabbath. They would unscrew the light bulbs in their refrigerators so not to inadvertently turn them on and violate the Sabbath. So did you do that yesterday before sunset? Go into your fridge and, hey, you know, Orthodox Jew would say that's a problem. They turn off their water heaters. Okay. They hide money because it's a reminder of daily labor instead of divine rest. They cut their toilet paper in advance because ripping it would violate their religious regulations. You better make sure you calculated correctly. That's all I can say. They light tall white candles moments before sundown because striking a match is banned during the Sabbath. Ooh, wow, all that work to strike that match. Here are some things prohibited on the Sabbath. Taking a bath. Well, that goes, I guess, with the water heater, right? Opening an umbrella. Don't do that. Touching a pen, because they feel that writing is work. And all kind of regulations about how much you can carry, you know. Well, your Bible's too heavy. You better get a little pocket one, right? Okay. So these are actual, you know, they went down the wrong road, right? The Bible doesn't talk about things like that. It gives principles, but, you know, they just carry them way too far. And it became a burden, as Christ talked about. There's some positive duties of the Sabbath. Positive duties that they have. One is wear one's best clothes. That's interesting. Eat at least three meals during the day. I think we should adopt that in the Church of God, right? Just kidding. Read the Pentateuch at synagogue service and the prophets. Read a special blessing at the end of the Sabbath, emphasizing the separation and distinction between the Sabbath and work days. So, a few of the positive things. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, and starting in verse 7. Jesus is talking. He says, "Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Not the commandments of God, the commandments of men. "For laying aside the commandment of God," you, talking to the Pharisees here in context, "you hold the tradition of men, like the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things like you do. He says, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions. So that's kind of the overview of the problem with the Pharisees. All these regulations and all these very specific things that they invented, that's what they emphasized. And it became a burden, really. What can't we do today? It's just like you're just worried about carrying too much, or you didn't cut enough toilet paper, or whatever, you know, it was. And Jesus is like, that's not the point. Not the point to all these added things. You know, what about the overall abiding principle of, hey, the Sabbath, you know, a delight. You know, Isaiah talked about it. It should be a delight. It should be positive. It should be a time that we draw close to God and to one another. Not to, you know, see if you're abiding by these man-made rules. Now, you know, we all have to test, you might say, our Sabbath experience by principle, right? We you know, some things we just have to figure out, and maybe we look back and say, wow, maybe that wasn't the best thing that I should have done, you know, on the Sabbath day. I know I can look to a personal example of something that I did really wrong when I first started to keep the Sabbath. I was living at home. I was going to local college in New Jersey and commuting, living at home. But I started to keep the Sabbath. And I was like really way out of proportion in terms of, you know, I got to keep it. You know, I'll go to church, but my parents, they're not in the church, and they don't know anything about this. So I'm just going to avoid them. I'm going to avoid them on the Sabbath day. And I'd come home from church. We always had church in the morning back then. I'd come home, just didn't talk to them, went up to my room, you know, whatever, opened the Bible, whatever. But in my mind, it's like, you know, they're not a part of this. So, you know, that's that. You know, I felt I was doing the right thing. But after a while, it's, you know, starting to like, does that really make any sense? Is that good that I'm doing that? And, you know, you start thinking about, wow, the fifth commandment, you know, honor your father and mother. Is that honoring them? What is wrong with talking to them and engaging with them? And so I learned, you know, the light bulb started to go on that what I'd been doing was not good. You know, through experience, through the fruits of it, that's something that, you know, I have to reverse that thinking. And we might find that those are things that we might, you know, come into as we keep the Sabbath. We find out through living, you know, what might work, might not work, so to speak. But if we always keep the main purpose is to strengthen our bond with God, you know, there you go. You know, then we could start to make positive decisions. And there are questions that come up, and sometimes maybe there's not a really, really clear answer. You know, one of the questions that's come up is that, you know, is it okay to go to a restaurant and eat out on the Sabbath day? Where, wow, you know, you have a waiter or waitress that's serving you, and does that violate the principles of the Sabbath? Am I making them work because I'm going out? You know, that's been debated a lot in the Church of God. Been debated a lot. And some people, they have the conviction that, no, I don't think I should do that. And others don't see that is an issue. But, you know, so sometimes there are gray areas that come up. Here's the important thing. You know, let's not condemn anyone else for maybe the conclusions that they come through, you know, and make a big deal out of it. You know, some things might, you know, people have a clear conscience and they're fine with it, and they think it's okay in a gray area. But it's not our part, you know, to, you know, you're absolutely wrong, and, you know, because you don't think it's a gray area. But so we have to be careful about judging one another. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 14. We'll cover 1 more aspect here. Luke chapter 14. And it's known as the ox in the ditch. The ox in the ditch. Luke 14 and verse 1. It came to pass as he went to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him because they were all about the rules that they had made up with. Behold, there was a certain man before him who had had King James the dropsy. Jesus spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, "Hey, I got a question for you. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" You know, you scribes, you know, you think you know the law. What about it? They didn't say anything. They held their peace. So he took this individual and he healed him and he let him go. And answered him, saying, "Which of you will have a donkey or an ox fall to a pit? It will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day." And they could not answer him again to these things. And so you have that phrase, you know, an ox in the ditch. You know, what about emergencies that come up, right? Can you deal with those? Well, sure. I mean, Jesus is, applying a principle right here that would be something you have to deal with. What about power failures that come up and you have to, quote unquote, work? You know, you have to deal with that issue. And maybe you have to spend a couple hours, you know, doing something. You know, the waters are coming into your basement, or you know, things of that nature. There actually is a principle in Orthodox Judaism that if your house is on fire, that you can't put it out. You just get out of the house, because trying to put it out would be work. Again, I'm not making this up, but you know, when we have emergencies, you know, personal injuries, accidents and other occurrences, you know, we have to deal with that. You know, God, God is not out to, you know, say this is it, and you know, there's no leeway. We have to deal with things like that. That certainly can involve, you know, personal health and safety. Things can happen, but you know, we have to be careful about creating things like, well, you know, I think what I'm going to do is an ox in the ditch. So, a veterinarian, you know, once said, "Hey, I think I can work on the Sabbath day because look at what I do. I help animals. Isn't that good? God's creation, and alleviating the suffering of animals. So, you know, that's good that I'm working on the seventh day." Well, you know, you can practice 6 days out of the week. But the others, it's, you know, that's your time of rest. Now, there's obviously an emergency that comes up, you know, you could deal with that. But generally speaking, you know, your job is to, you know, have your normal appointments. Do that 6 days. Seventh day is a time. So we have to be careful that we don't play games with ourselves to justify doing something that really does not fit with the principles of Sabbath keeping. Now, one of the main reasons God never listed a list of do's and don'ts on the Sabbath, because he does want us to think about it. You know, we have a mind to go through that, and he wants us to be responsible for our conclusions. And again, we can learn things as we keep the Sabbath year by year. We can grow and deepen and do better as time goes on. And of course, God knew that you can't draw up a list. You know, how can you draw up a list of exactly what to do or not to do? But as hopefully we've seen in the sermon, we can apply the principles. And there's a lot of principles that we went through. You might be surprised. A lot of areas that in principle can answer really almost most of the questions that we can really come up with if we just apply the principles. We do need to remember it is the day of rest, spiritually, first of all, and we rest physically and mentally. It's a time of fellowship, right, as we're doing right now. It is a time to be uplifting and encouraged and encourage others as we can. And the whole point is to be rearmed to face another week, right? We never know what the upcoming week's going to bring. But if we have good Sabbath observance and we get uplifted and we get kind of on track, then we're ready to deal with the things that might be coming up. And when we are spiritually refueled and we have kept the principles of Sabbath keeping, we can know that we did observe the Sabbath properly as God intended.